RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Nisma. First, the headline. Islam Nusantara gathering to be held in London on Friday. KUR distribution in production sector reached 31%. And now the news in detail. Indonesia Weekend Festival 2017 in London will hold special event of Islam Nusantara gathering on Friday, July 21st. The event will preview the harmonious life through existence and values of mosque in Indonesia that can be one of halal destination. The talk show will be guided by Deputy Secretary of High Education Committee, Nahdlatul Ulama, LPTNU, Kiai Haji Ahmad Sudrajat Salim, CEO of Awakening Worldwide Sharif Hasan Albana, and CEO Debradocom Islamic Brand Strategist Ria Reni Kristiana. Nahdlatul Ulama or NU stated in a press release received on Tuesday, July 20, the event is an opportunity for travelers, British Muslim communities, school, universities, medias and honorable invitation to get the deeper understanding of Islamic practices and sanctuary places in Indonesia. NU up till now is the largest and strongest Islam organization, holds the tradition of Islam da'wah. This is proved by the Nahdiyin characters of humbleness and tolerance in dealing with life that rooted from the three main principles, which are tawasud, see things moderately, tasamuh, think in tolerance, and tawasun, act proportionally. With increasing of the terrorism today, the world could learn from NU in Indonesia on what, why, and how Indonesian people remain strong in uphold its tradition of diversity practice, with emphasizing of Pancasila as ideology. Indonesia, with the full support and direction of Nahdlatul Ulama leaders, has strengthened its role to inspire the Muslim community in the world to live peacefully in harmony. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, said that the distribution of microloan program or KUR in the production sector has reached 31%. He said on the Wednesday, July 9th, at the end of the year, the ministry believes that 40% of KUR will be distributed for production, not only for trade. Earlier, Minister Darmin had expected to see a higher distribution of KUR in the production sector. So far, KUR loans are mostly distributed to the trade sector. Darmin had said that the portion of KUR in the production sector was only at 22-23%. This year, the cap amount of KUR distribution has been raised to 110 trillion rupiah from 100 trillion rupiah last year. According to the scheme, some 81% is allocated to microloans, 18% to retail, and 1% to Indonesian migrant worker placement. Data from the ministry show that as of the end of 2016, 94.4 trillion rupiah or 94.4% KUR were distributed last year from the target of 100 trillion rupiah. The loans were disbursed more than 4 million debtors with the ratio non-performing loans to total credit at 0.37%. The Central Statistics Agency BPS earlier reported in the 2016 economic census that micro and small-sized enterprises, or UMK, underpin Indonesia's economy up to the end of last year. The UMK made up 98.33% of the country's employment structure, far more dominant compared to medium and large-sized enterprises, which stood at 1.67%. The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources exempt oil and gas exploration taxes for those who want to invest in Indonesia. Secretary General of Oil and Gas at the Ministry, Susianto, said in Jakarta on Wednesday, July 19, that the Government Regulation No. 27/2017 on refundable operating costs and the treatment of income tax in oil and gas business sector is the government's response to complaint on tax rules, which is mentioned in Regulation No. 79 of 2010. Some of the revised points of the new regulation include incentive for upstream oil and gas businesses, the dynamic amount of profit sharing and exploitation costs. The revision also includes refundable and non-refundable operating expenses, abolition for cost-sharing tax, and changes from field basis to block basis operational system. The new regulation also states the abolition of import duties on goods used for operation and value-added tax, or VAT, for luxury goods. Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia, or HTI, will file a lawsuit against the revocation of its legal body status with the State Administrative Court, or PTUN. HTI legal counsel Yusril Ihza Mahendra conveyed the statement on Wednesday, July 19. The move will be taken as a response to the decision issued by the Law and Human Rights Ministry in accordance with the government regulation in lieu of law or Perpu No. 2/2017 on mass organization. Yusril said the Perpu has opened the door for the government to become dictators. Around 2,000 participants from across the globe are expected to participate in the Ironman 70.3 triathlon in Bintan, Riau Island province on August 21st. They will seek to qualify for the Ironman 70.3 World Championship, which will take place in Nelson Mandela Bay, South Africa next year. The Bintan event, the largest triathlon in Indonesia, last year attracted around 1,300 triathletes from 40 countries. The number 70.3 in the name refers to the total distance of the triathlon in miles, which is equal to 113 kilometers. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism expects the number of athletes participating in this year's triathlon to be double that of last year. Bintan District Head Apri Sujadi recently said that the athletes for Ironman 70.3 will start their race by swimming for 1.2 miles or 1.9 kilometers in the calm and clear waters, followed by a 56-mile or 90-kilometer cycling race. The endurance race will end with a 21.1-kilometer marathon. Abdul Wahab, general manager of Bintan Resort Cakrawala Group, expressed surprise with the participants' enthusiasm for this year's triathlon. Wahab said this year, the number of participants will be more compared to 2016. If last year there were around 1,000 participants, it will be double this year, he added. It seems that the athletes have an agreement to test their capabilities and endurance by joining the Ironman 70.3 qualifying round in Lagoy, Bintan. The event is also expected to attract 3 times more tourists this year. Participants are expected to take their sponsors and families with them. The number of athlete supporters, family, and sponsor estimated to reach more than 6,000. The Ironman 70.3 will take place in Lagoy Bay, the most popular tourism spot in Bintan. Indonesian state-owned railway operator PT Kereta Api Indonesia or KAI has finally secured a 2 trillion rupiah or $150.2 million capital injection PMN from the state to fund the construction of a light rail transit or LRT system in Greater Jakarta. On Wednesday evening, July 19 in Jakarta, the House of Representatives approved the additional injection to be sourced from the 2017 revised budget as well as the reallocation of a similar type of funds the firm obtained in 2015 for the LRT project. Earlier, the latter was allocated for KAI Trans Sumatra Railway Project. KAI President Director Edi Sukmoro said after the meeting that KAI can start processing the loan from the banks, so the project will not stop. To fund the 27.5 trillion rupiah project, the railway firm require an estimated 9 trillion rupiah in equity from the state to allow it access to a 18.5 trillion rupiah syndicated loan from the banks. With the newly approved injection, it has so far gained 4 trillion rupiah in equity. Furthermore, it has obtained another 1.4 trillion rupiah from the capital injection funnel into state-owned construction firm PT Adikarya, which is building the LRT. The LRT construction is set to run into 2 phases. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan and Tourism Minister Arief Yahya inaugurated the Borobudur Tourism Authority Agency at Trimurti Building of Prambanan Temple Complex Magelang on Wednesday, July 19. The establishment of Borobudur Tourism Authority Agency was based on Presidential Regulation No. 46 of 2017. It will manage the tourism area in 3 national tourism destinations, including Solo Sangiran and its surroundings, Semarang Karimun Java and its surroundings, and Borobudur Yogyakarta and its surroundings. It is also expected to provide benefit to the surrounding population while maintaining its sustainability. Borobudur is one of the 10 main tourist destinations which development is being prioritized by the Indonesian government. And the last item, Indonesian President Joko Widodo Jokowi has outlined innovation, creativity, and entrepreneurship as 3 keys to winning the global competition. President Jokowi noted in his opening remarks during the 10th National Working Meeting of the All Indonesian Regional Government Association, or APKASI, and APKASI Autonomy Expo 2017 at the Jakarta Convention Center, Jakarta, Wednesday, July 19. If Indonesia wants to win the competition, the state or regions must focus on three crucial aspects, such as innovation in every aspect, constant creativity to be realized by the region, and entrepreneurs. The head of state also urged regional administration to anticipate swift changes. He emphasized, if Indonesia does not want to change, it will also be left behind. He then said that the change is very fast now. He also called on every public element to make breakthroughs for a change and not become trapped by routine activities. The president expressed belief that one should not rely on conventional means or traditional approaches, but instead should be innovative to be on a better standing in the face of the evolving era. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Islam Nusantara gathering to be held in London on Friday. KUR distribution in production sector reached 31%. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary. And today's commentary is on government commitments on implementation of SDGs. The government of Indonesia is committed to implementing the Sustainable Development Goals or SDGs agenda, integrating 169 indicators of the goals into the National Medium-Term Development Plan 2020-2024. Indonesia's efforts to implement the SDGs agenda are built on the experience of past agendas. During the 15 years of implementation of the MDGs, Indonesia achieved 49 of the 67 targeted indicators. This commitment is strengthened by the issuance of Presidential Regulation No. 59 of 2017 on the implementation of Sustainable Development Objectives, which is a step of national development strategy. SDGs are a global agenda of the United Nations to encourage sustainable development to address poverty, inequalities and climate change in the form of concrete action proclaimed through UN resolution on October the 21st, 2015. There are 193 countries that agree on 17 objectives with 169 indicators, namely alleviations of poverty, without hunger, healthy and prosperous life, quality education, gender equality, clean water and sanitation, clean and affordable energy, decent work and economic growth, industry innovation and infrastructure, reduce gaps, etc. SDGs are a continuation of the MDGs that ended in 2015. They are the world's main development agenda for the benefit of human and planet Earth by applying universal principles that is a general principle. The Indonesian government is very serious about implementing the indicators of SDGs. By integrating the global agenda into the National Development Plan, the government takes full ownership and responsibility for the implementation in Indonesia. For Indonesia, SDGs are not only relevant as a global commitment, but also a guide to becoming a developed country. Presidential Regulation No. 59 of 2017 shows the government's consistency to institutionalize the SDGs agenda into national development programs. The objective is to maintain continuous improvement of social welfare, to maintain the sustainability of community social life, to maintain the quality of the environment and inclusive development, and the implementation of good governance that will improve the quality of life from one generation to the next. In the presidential regulation, SDGs are also emphasized the involvement of all stakeholders through four participation platforms, namely the government and parliament, philanthropy and businesses, CBOs, academics and experts, in order to succeed the implementation of the agenda SDGs. Effectiveness of the implementation of SDGs, both in Indonesia and globally, requires revitalization cooperation at the international level. This is to meet several criteria based on actual needs and priorities of the countries concerned, should be able to improve implementation in developing countries and open new economic opportunities that can reduce poverty and gaps. The government's commitment to implement SDGs should be supported by the community and all parties so that this country will be more advanced and prosperous. Well, that was commentary today on government's commitment on implementation of SDGs. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, while we start from an event on July 20th, 1969, when Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. Neil Alden Armstrong was an American astronaut and the first person to walk on the moon. He was also an aerospace engineer, naval aviator, test pilot, and university professor. Before becoming an astronaut, Armstrong was an officer at the U.S. Navy and served in the Korean War. After the war, he earned his bachelor's degree at Purdue University and served as a test pilot at the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics High-Speed Flight Station, now known as the Dryden Flight Research Center, where launched over 900 flights. He later completed his graduate studies at the University of Southern California. Armstrong's second and last space
flight was a mission commander of the Apollo 11 moon landing in July 1969. On this mission, Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin descended to the lunar surface and spent 2.5 hours exploring, while Michael Collins remained in lunar orbit in the Comet module. The next event was in 1979 when Viking 1 landed on Mars. Viking 1 was the first of two spacecraft along with Viking 2 sent to Mars as part of NASA's Viking program. Following launch using a Titan or Centaur launch vehicle on August 20, 1975, a 10-month cruise to Mars, the orbiter began returning global images of Mars about 5 days before orbit insertion. The Viking 1 orbiter was inserted into Mars orbit on June 19, 1976 and trimmed at 33,000 kilometers on June 21st. Landing on Mars was planned for July 4, 1976. The United States bicentennial, but imagine the primary landing site, so it was too rough for a safe landing. The landing was delayed until a safer site was found. The lander separated from the orbiter on July 20th at 8 past 51 UTC and landed at 11 past 53.06 UTC. It was the first attempt by the United States at landing on Mars. Listener, and the last event was in 1951 when Abdullah Wan bin Al-Hussein, King of Jordan, was killed. Abdullah Wan bin Al-Hussein, King of Jordan, born in Mecca. The just Ottoman Empire in modern-day Saudi Arabia was the second of three sons of Hussein bin Ali, Sharif and Emir of Mecca, and his first wife, Abdiya bin Abdullah. He was educated in Constantinople and Hejaz from 1909 to 1914. Abdullah sat in the Ottoman legislature as deputy for Mecca, but allied with Britain during World War I. From 1916 to 1918, working with the British guerrilla leader T.E. Lawrence, he played a key role as an architect and planner of a great Arab revolt against Ottoman rule, leading guerrilla raids on garrisons. He was the ruler of Transjordan and his successor state Jordan. On 20 July 1951, Abdullah, while visiting Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, was shot dead by a Palestinian from the Hussein clan. Listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus, which today is on 60 delegates from ASEAN countries visited Gunung Kidul Regency Special Region of Yogyakarta. Considered successful in community-based development programs, Gunung Kidul District Yogyakarta Special Region was visited by 60 delegates from ASEAN countries on Thursday, July the 13th. Their visit is in the framework of ASEAN Workshop on Social Protection through Community-Driven Development Platforms. They wanted to study the community-based development programs in the area. The region of Gunung Kidul Badingah welcomed the arrival of the delegation from ASEAN and hoped for the positive effects of the visit. During the visit, they learned about the management of the National Program for Community Empowerment and the village funds disbursed by the government. According to Badingah, Gunung Kidul has been successfully built the village independently with the funds of the National Program of Independent Community Empowerment and Village Funds. It was able to develop the potential of villages, as in Nglanggeran's ancient volcano, which could manage to develop the potential well. She said the advantages of the National Program for Independent Community Empowerment is remarkable because the community can independently utilize it for education, health, and economy. Badingah said with the achievement in Nglanggeran village, ASEAN country delegates can observe and learn how community-based development is applied. That way, they can apply it in their respective countries, especially on how to encourage the village to develop the potentials as in the tourism sector. She also hopes the arrival of the delegation will also bring benefits of knowledge gained by the community in Gunung Kidul. Meanwhile, the manager of Ngelanggeran Ancient Volcano, Sugeng Handoko, disclosed that in 2014, Ngelanggeran was awarded the Best National Program of Community Empowerment in Tourism. Well, that was focused today on 60 ASEAN delegates visit Gunung Kidul. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesia Weekend Festival 2017 in London will hold special event of Islam Nusantara Gathering on Friday, July 21st. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that the distribution of microloan program in the production sector has reached 31%. The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources exempt oil and gas exploration taxes for those who want to invest in Indonesia. Around 2,000 participants from across the globe are expected to participate in the Ironman 70.3 triathlon in Bintan, Riau Island Province on August 21st. Indonesian state-owned railway operator PT Kereta Api Indonesia has finally secured 2 trillion rupiah or $150.2 million capital injection from the state to fund the construction of a light rail transit system and Greater Jakarta. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan and Tourism Minister Arief Yahya inaugurated the Borobudur Tourism Authority Agency at Trimurti Building of Prambanan Temple Complex Magelang on Wednesday, July 19. And the last item, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has outlined innovation, creativity, and entrepreneurship as the three keys to winning the global competition. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to our daily program of Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you Mangkat Dance from North Sulawesi. So stay with us at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Listener, Festival of Bukit Kasi or Love Hill will be held at the end of this month. This festival is held to succeed the Minahasa Wonder 2017. In addition, the event is also held to preserve the arts and culture of the region in Minahasa land, as well as part of the Thanksgiving Day activities on next July 23rd. The contest in the Festival of Bukit Kasi consists of dance competition, Mangkat Dance, Katrili, Bambu, and Kolintang music. The Mangkat and Bambu music competition will be held on Thursday, July 27 next week. The competition of Katrili and Bambu music will be held on Friday, July 28. The activities start at 9 in Bukit. The activities start at 9 morning in Bukit Kasi Complex, Kanonang, West Kawakoan District. Listener, from various competition held at the Festival of Bukit Kasi at the time, we introduce to you one of the contests, namely the dance of Mangkat Dance. Mangkat Dance is one of the traditional dances of Minahasa people living in North Sulawesi. This dance is usually performed in bulk both male dancers and female dancers. This dance is a symbol of gratitude for the abundant harvest, so it is often staged during the harvest feast ceremony every year. One of the areas in Minahasa that performs this dance is Rano Wangko Village, Kombi Sub-District. Now, this dance is not only performed during the harvest party, but also when welcoming honored guests and great days. Listener, the name of Mangkat Dance is derived from the word angkat, which is the local language means lifting the heel of the foot up and down. With the addition of ma on the angkat, word can be interpreted to dance ups and downs. This dance is used for simple movement, while nowadays Mangkat Dance has grown both in terms of dance and form of performances. In its development, this dance is divided into several types according to their respective goals. Take for example, there is Ma Owe Kemburu or Owe Kemburu dance movement. This movement symbolizes thanksgiving for abundant agricultural products. Then there is also Marambak dance movement. This movement illustrates the spirit of mutual cooperation. And lastly, Lalayan dance movement depicts how young people look for mates. Listener, Maengket dance is usually played by male and female dancers in pairs and led by one woman. The Maengket dance performance is usually only accompanied by musical accompaniment, tambur music. But the performers also use other traditional music instrument as an addition or variation such as tifa and kolintang musical instrument. The dancers usually use traditional clothing. The female dancers use kebaya and typical and long dress of North Sulawesi. In the hair section, the male dancers use long sleeve shirt, trousers and head covering typical North Sulawesi. The dance leaders use the same dress with female dancers, but the dress is added with some creations such as different shades or colors to be able to differ. All dancers usually carry a handkerchief to be used for dancing. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. With the topic Maengket Dance. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye and sampai jumpa lagi.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, glad to be with you again in Miscellany. Today, I will be presenting information about Goes Pesona Nusantara. Stay tuned in at www.voi.co.id. Listener, Goes Pesona Nusantara will be held in Martapura on 23 July 2017. This event is to support the Let's Sport program initiated by the Ministry of Youth and Sport. Besides that, Goes Pesona Nusantara is to improve people's quality of life and is expected to be followed by many participants. This year, it has targeted 2,000 cyclists, both of the general public and the bicycle community. Listener, the cycling route will pass a number of areas that have tourist attraction, started from Ratu Zaleha Green Open Space in downtown Martapura through religious areas such as Jalan Sekumpul. Anyone interested to participate can register through Facebook at Bersepeda Kalsel, Banjar Regency Dispora Office at Jalan Ahmad Yani, Kilometer 39, Goes Sepeda Nusantara, GSP Martapura, and Indonesian Bicycle Association, ISSI, Banjar. Various attractive prizes have been prepared by the committee, with the main prize travel to favorite tourist attraction throughout Indonesia for 10 winners. Goes Pesona Nusantara is one of the flagship programs of Let's Sport Movement, initiated by Ministry of Youth and Sport. This campaign was officially launched on 26 April 2017. The event has become one of the flagship activities of Let's Sport. Because the government wants to revive the Indonesian cycling tradition that is almost lost. Besides that, it is expected people can be familiar again with the bike instead of relying on motorcycle, which actually pollute air. By cycling, people do not just treat the body but also help maintain the environment. Goes Pesona Nusantara passes 90 regencies, cities across Indonesia. This event will end at Borobudur Temple Magelang, Central Java, on the occasion of the National Sport Day, Haornas, September 9, 2017. Goes Pesona Nusantara was officially stated on May 13, 2017 by the Minister of Youth and Sport, Imam Nahrawi. Well, listener, that was today's miscellany theme Goes Pesona Nusantara at Martapura. We will meet again in the next miscellany with another interesting topic. See you again and goodbye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of the Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Nisma, in the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you to Indonesian popular singer, Syahrini, who is also a big screen star. Well, listener, let us listen to the first song presented by Syahrini. Happy listening to you all.
Hanya mengatakan aku tak ingin menggurui. Oh yeah, semua kenangan tetap saja harus terjadi. Tak perlu.
hanya mengatakan cinta ini datang dan pergi. Oh yeah, semua kenangan simpan saja di dalam hati. Tak perlu sesali apa yang telah terjadi.
Listener, we have just listened to the suite number of Syahrini entitled Sesuatu. Listener, each people has something, whether it is something memorable or something that tell us the story of human life to reach the goal of desire. Well, listener, let us now listen to the next song entitled Kau Yang Memilih, presented by Syahrini. Happy listening.
Seperti semua mereka tahu saat hatiku lulu kepadamu kau pergi dengan kisah yang lalu dan ku simpan di ketulusan hati.
Listener, Syahrini started her career in Indonesian pop music industry with Recycle, the songs which ever been popularized by the late Alda Risma entitled Aku Tak Biasa. And since then, slowly but surely, her career began to rise to the entertainment world in the country. Syahrini often appeared on the screen. Not only her career became the main topic of news, but also her personal life. Syahrini has also a duet with Anang Hermansyah, but their duet album did not much received by the music lovers to color pop music in the country. Such with Anang's duet with Krisdayanti, an Indonesian diva. Well, listener, let us now listen to the last song entitled Kau Tak Punya Hati by Syahrini. Happy listening to you all, and we will see you again next time. Goodbye and sampai jumpa.
Diriku kini terluka lagi olehmu yang aku cintai, ku melihatmu dengan yang lain.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.